Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. A Brief History of Equality is a nonfiction work by Thomas Piketty. Translated into English by Stephen Rendall, that condenses decades of research on inequality into a shorter and more accessible historical argument. Rather than focusing only on the rise of wealth concentration, the book traces the long development of equality across income, property, education, political rights, and social protections. Piketty writes for educated general readers, especially citizens interested in public policy, history, and political economy. The book argues that equality is not a natural outcome of markets, but the result of struggle, institutions, and democratic choices. It presents a broad historical sweep that includes capitalism, revolution, colonialism, war, taxation, and welfare state building, while maintaining a deliberately optimistic thesis progress toward equality has occurred, even if unevenly and reversibly. Its purpose is both analytical and civic, offering readers a framework for understanding how equality has been achieved and what policies could sustain it. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, equality as a historical process shaped by institutions, not destiny. Piketty's central claim is that equality has increased over the long run, but only through conflict, reform, and institutional change. He rejects the idea that inequality is fixed by economic laws or human nature. Instead, he treats equality as a political and historical construction that depends on legal systems, voting rights, schooling, taxation, and social protection. This framing matters because it shifts the discussion away from passive observation and toward human agency. If equality is made by institutions, then it can also be remade when institutions fail. The book repeatedly shows that progress has come in waves, not smoothly, and that setbacks are part of the story. That makes the historical narrative more cautious than simple optimism, because it recognizes that advances in equality can be reversed by war, reaction, or policy retreat. The result is a book that treats history as evidence for democratic possibility rather than inevitability. Secondly, the welfare state as a major engine of reduced inequality. One of the book's strongest recurring arguments is that the welfare state played a decisive role in reducing inequality during the 20th century. Piketty links greater equality to public spending on education, healthcare, pensions, and social security, showing that redistribution is not only about cash transfers, but also about building institutions that broaden access to opportunity and protection. This is important because it expands the meaning of equality beyond income alone. A society can reduce inequality by improving life chances and by ensuring that basic goods are not reserved for the wealthy. Piketty also suggests that these institutions support social cohesion and economic stability, rather than undermining them. That claim challenges the common objection that redistribution necessarily weakens growth. In his account, welfare state expansion is not a side effect of prosperity, but one of the main reasons inequality fell in the first place. The book therefore treats social democracy as a historical achievement worth defending and extending. Thirdly, progressive taxation as the main tool for correcting wealth concentration, taxation is presented as the key fiscal mechanism for sustaining equality, especially taxes on income, inheritance, and wealth. Piketty builds on his earlier work to argue that highly progressive taxes are necessary because market economies naturally produce large concentrations of property and capital over time. In this view, unequal wealth is not just a distributional problem, but a political one, because it amplifies power and limits democratic participation. The book's policy logic is straightforward: if wealth accumulates faster than societies can tolerate, then democratic states need tax systems capable of slowing that concentration and financing public goods. Piketty does not present taxation as a punishment of success, but as a normal feature of democratic organization. The point is to make wealth compatible with citizenship, rather than allowing wealth to dominate citizenship. This topic is central because it connects the book's historical argument to a practical policy agenda that readers can recognize in current debates about inequality and fiscal justice. Fourthly, colonialism, slavery, and global inequality as hidden foundations of modern wealth, although the book is mainly about long-term progress toward equality, it does not ignore the violent origins of modern wealth. Piketty places colonialism, slavery, and imperial extraction inside the story of capitalist development, arguing that the prosperity of many rich societies was built through domination as well as innovation. This matters because it prevents the history of equality from becoming a purely domestic or European success story. The book suggests that redistribution should not only occur within nations, but also reflect the unequal legacies of empire and global exploitation. By discussing the liquidation of colonial assets and the political significance of those transformations, Piketty frames equality as an international question rather than only a national one. This broadens the moral and economic horizon of the book. It also helps explain why present-day inequality cannot be understood only through contemporary markets. Historical accumulation, dispossession, and racial hierarchy remain part of the structure. The result is a more politically serious account of global inequality than many shorter economic histories offer. Lastly, participatory socialism as a democratic framework for future reform. The book ends by sketching what Piketty calls participatory socialism, a framework that combines strong redistribution with broader democratic control over economic life. This is not a call for state ownership in the old authoritarian sense, but for more balanced institutions that include workers, citizens, and public authorities in shaping economic outcomes. The idea brings together legal rights, social protections, fiscal reform, and education as parts of one system rather than separate policy areas. Piketty's emphasis is practical as well as ideological. He argues that no single reform will secure equality permanently. So societies need an integrated institutional order that can adapt over time. This gives the book a forward-looking dimension that goes beyond historical summary. It also explains why the book matters in the contemporary debate about capitalism. Piketty is not merely criticizing inequality, but proposing a democratic alternative to unregulated accumulation. Even readers who disagree with his prescriptions will find that he offers a coherent framework for thinking about how equality might be sustained rather than temporarily repaired. In conclusion, A Brief History of Equality is best suited to general readers, students, policy-minded citizens, and anyone who wants a compact entry point into Thomas Piketty's broader body of work. It is especially useful for readers who want historical perspective without having to tackle his much longer books. The chief benefit of the book is its ability to connect large-scale economic history with concrete institutions such as taxation, welfare systems, education, and political rights. It helps readers see inequality as something produced by policy choices and historical struggle, not as an unavoidable feature of modern life. What distinguishes it from many books in the same genre is its combination of scope, accessibility, and normative clarity. It is not just a summary of trends or a critique of capitalism. It is an argument that history contains usable lessons for democratic reform. Readers looking for a balanced but pointed account of inequality will find that it offers both interpretation and direction, making it valuable as both a synthesis of Piketty's research and a practical framework for public debate. If you would like to support Thomas Piketty, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.